We're going to restart. We're going to start with the Mishnah on Havdalah Amid Beis. So the Mishnah says, "Marchikin es goren kavua min ha'ir chamishim amu." We learned that to keep the land of Israel beautiful, there is a law that trees have to be kept away from a city, so that when you look at the city, it's nice and clean going in, and your sight line is not blocked by a tree. So that was last Mishnah. Now the next Mishnah is you have to keep away a goren. A goren is a place where you're storing wheat, hay. So you have to keep that away from a city 50 amos. Lo yasa adam goren kavua besoch shalo. Similarly, even if it's in your own field, you can't make a pile to store there the wheat and the chaff in a permanent way, unless there are 50 amos around that goren in each direction before it reaches the fields of other people. Because if you don't have that distance, then the chaff is going to fly off of the pile, and it's going to damage my friend's plants that are growing in his garden. No, anywhere. Anywhere. This would be anywhere. It's not okay. Just Eretz Yisrael. This is because of damage already. And you have to be far from the plantings of your friend of trees. Umi Niro, or from his furrow that he plowed. Enough so that your goren and its chaff that flies off not damage his little sapling or his plowed area. So the Gemara now asks, Maishna Resha, Maishna Seifa, why in the beginning of the Mishnah did we say that there's a certain measurement of space, 50 amos away, the pile of stored wheat and chaff has to be 50 amos away from my friend's city or from his property. Whereas in the end of the Mishnah, we say, just keep the pile far away, that it not damage his saplings or his plowed furrow. Why did we say 50 amos? So Amar Abaye answered, Seifa son legoren she'eno kavua. The end of the Mishnah is talking about a different type of a storage area. The beginning was saying, a goren kavua, a permanent gathering of wheat and chaff. So that, a permanent gathering which has a lot of stuff in it, has to be 50 amos away. But at the end of the Mishnah, it was talking about a small gathering. So a small gathering of wheat and chaff doesn't have to be 50 amos away necessarily. You just have to measure. As long as it's not damaging the stuff next to you, it's okay to put it there. That's answer number one. Heichidami goren she'eino kavua. What's the meaning of a gathering, of a storage area that's not permanent? Amar Rav Yosi b'Rav Chanina, kol she'eino zorea b'reches. That the wind itself is enough to do the winnowing, because there's not so much wheat and chaff, so the wind itself comes and it lifts up the chaff and flies it off. And you don't need the tool to come, the pitchfork, to come pick up the wheat, to throw it up, to get the wind to separate the chaff. Rav Ashi, that was answer number one. Rav Ashi gave answer number two. Matam kamar. The Mishnah is giving us the reasoning. My time, what's the reason? Marchik and Goren Kavua min ha'ir chamishim amo. Why do we distance the permanent gathering 50 amos from a city? What the end of the Mishnah is explaining, Kedei shelo yazik, because we don't want to have damage from the gathering of the wheat and the chaff. The chaff that flies off would damage things that are growing in the city. Mesfi, I'll challenge you. We learned, Marchik and Goren Kavua min ha'ir chamishim amo. We distance the permanent storage pile 50 amos from a city. The same way we have to distance from a city 50 amos, so too we have to have that distance from his butternut squash, and from his zucchini, and from his little saplings of his friend, and from his friend's plowed area, Kadesh shlo yazik, so that my pile of wheat and chaff not damage his stuff. So Bishmal Rav Ashi Nicha, according to Rav Ashi, that's fine. El Abaye, but according to Abaye, if it's a small pile which isn't permanent, then it's a different measure. So Kasha, so now we have a contradiction. So where's this Kasha? Okay, so it's a contradiction. Fine. All right. Bishlam mimikushuav umidluav. I understand why you want to keep the pile of stuff, of hay and grain, away from my friend zucchini or his butternut squash. Dazel avka, because the chaff, the dust, is going to fly off. Vasi belibe, it's going to go into the heart of these vegetables. Matzvile, they're going to ruin it. Elaminiro, but in terms of his plowed furrow, am I? Why do I need to keep away my chaff from his furrow? From his, you know, row of things that he plowed up to be able to plant. Nothing's growing there yet. I'm Rabbi Barzav, Yitim Rabbi Barzutra, Rabbi Barzatra, some sort of Rabbi Barzutra answered me, Pnei, Shoso, Oso, Gullo, because the chaff that flies off is going to dry what he has in that furrow. And he's going to ruin it from being able to be used. It's too much fertilizer. If you have a pile of chaff right near his furrow, so much chaff is going to fly off. That's going to be too much fertilizer in his field. It's going to ruin things from growing. Okay. Next law about keeping things away from other things. Marchikinas hanavelos. We have to keep away dead animals. Vesakvaros, or a cemetery, dead human beings, vesabursaki, and a tannery, a place where we're turning skin into leather, min ha'ir, from a city, chamishim ama, 50 amos, again, because these things have bad smells, and the bad smell is going to damage the people in the city. Next halacha, talking about tanneries, which gets us into the issue of geography and wind. Ain't no sinborski el mizuch ha'ir. The only place where we can make a tannery is to the east of a city. Because the wind that's flying from the east, the eastern wind, is a soft wind. And as a soft wind, it's not going to bring the smell of the leather being manufactured into the city to damage the city. But to the west, or to the north, or to the south, those winds are stronger winds. They're going to bring in the smell, and therefore it's going to damage the city.
Now you're talking about Beit HaMikdash now.
Eretz Yisrael, you mean? Sounds like even that Eretz Yisrael. Sounds everywhere. Even
this meant for Beit HaMikdash,
I think, even in Bavel. Even in Bavel, you couldn't damage your neighbors who are living in a city with putting up a stinky thing near them. Rabbi Akiva Melchor Ruach HaOser. Rabbi Akiva says you can make your tannery really on any side of the city. Chutz Mima'arava. Except for the western side, because there's a stronger wind. You just have to keep it 50 amos away from the city, as we said in the beginning. Another halacha, you have to keep your area where you're soaking flax, which has a very bad smell, away from the garden of your friend that's growing vegetables, because it's going to damage his vegetables. That's a question. You have to keep away the vegetable vetch, away from the olives, because it's going to, the onions, it's going to ruin the onions. And if I want to grow mustard and my friend has a whole network of beehives, I have to keep my mustard away from his beehives, because otherwise the bees are going to fly into my field. They're going to eat some of the mustard that's going to, you know, give them a caustic, acidic taste in their mouth. They're going to run back to where they have their honey. They're going to soak, you know, drink up a lot of honey. They're going to damage the honey. Rabbi Yossi matir b'chardel. Rabbi Yossi allows to have mustard next to beehives. Okay, going back to the Mishnah about winds. So the Mishnah said that Rabbi Akiva said you could have a tannery on any side of the city except for the west. But on those sides, it just has to be 50 amos away. So now the Gemara asks, they weren't really sure. They had a question. Rabbi Akiva Echikamer. What is Rabbi Akiva saying? Is he saying L'chol Ruach Osev is Somech on the other sides of the city, namely east, north, and south? You can make your tannery right next to the city. Chutz mi ma'arava, but in the west, he said you can't make a tannery. But what he meant was you can't make a tannery right next to the city on the west. But if ma'archa kamisha ma'amava osa, if you go 50 amos away from the city, then you can put up a tannery even on the west. Or maybe l'chol ruachu osa o ma'archa kamisha ma'amor. Maybe it's the way I read it. On the other sides, the east, the north, and the south, you can make a tannery, provided it's 50 amos away from the city. Chutz mi ma'arava, when Rabbi Akiva says, but you can't make a tannery on the west, that means they know osa klal, you can't make a tannery at all on the west, because the wind there is very strong, and it's going to bring the bad smells into the city and ruin the people in the city, harm them. Tashma, coming here, proof to tannery within a price, Rabbi Akiva says, l'chol ruachu osa. You can make a tannery on any direction, but you have to be 50 amos away, except for the western side, where you can't make a tannery at all, because it's very prevalent. Okay, so that resolved our question, that on the western side, because the wind is there all the time, you can't make a tannery at all, even if it is 50 amos away. Rav Nachman. Rav said to Rav Nachman, let's try to understand that price on my Tadira. What does Rabbi Akiva mean when he says that you can't make a tanning on the west because it's prevalent? It was what I just said, that there's always wind there. But then in Rav Chanan bar Abba's name, Rav Abaruchos, the four sides, the winds from the four sides, Menashe's b'chol yom, all of them always have wind going. Ruach Tzfon is in Kulan, and it's the northern wind that is with all the others. And it's besides the fact that each one has its time of blowing, the northern wind is there with the southern wind, and it's there with the eastern wind, and it's there with the western. Shilmalekain, and without this, having wind coming from all the directions, Ein Olam Eskayma Afilu Sha'achas, the world wouldn't be able to exist. Because otherwise, the wind would be too strong, so the winds have to counteract each other. The Ruach Dromus, and the southern wind is Kasha Mikulin, is the strongest. It's the most powerful wind. Gilmali Ben Netz Ma'amida, and if not for this angel Ben Netz who's standing to keep this wind from coming, Machrev Eses Olam, the southern wind would destroy the world. Shanaan Myers, the Pasuk says, Hami Binascha Ya'aver Netz Yifros Knafav L'Teiman, the angel which looks like the like the hawk, puts out its wings to the south in order to stop the wind that's blowing in the south. So you see that the wind that's most prevalent is not the western wind, it's the northern wind. Ella, what do we have to say? My Tadira, what did Rabbi Akiva mean that it's prevalent? Tadira b'shchina. It's prevalent to have a divine presence. The west is the direction of the Kodesh HaKodashim, of the Holiest of Holies. That's where the Shekhinah is. That's where Hashem's presence is. So since the west is the direction where Hashem's presence is, Rabbi Akiva says, you can have a tannery on the east, you can have it on the south, you can have it to the north of the city, but not to the west, because that would be an insult to the divine presence, that you put a stinky, smelly business in the side of the world where God is most present. Remember, they were in Bavel, right? They're in Iraq, to the east of the land of Israel. So they pray to the west, they pray to the Holy Land. Tam Rabbi Yeshua and Levi, Rabbi Yeshua and Levi used to say, Bovin Hatzik Tovol Avoseinu. Let's be grateful to our ancestors, Shehodiyu Makom Tfila, that they taught us through verses how to stand and direct ourselves when praying. Dechtiv, the Pasuk says, Utzva Shamayim, and the hosts of heavens, Lacham Eshtachavim, they bow to you. In other words, that means the sun, the moon that are in the east, they're bowing to you towards the west. Maskeflor Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, maybe that verse isn't telling us where the divine presence is. V'dilma maybe kevachinoto prasmi rabo. It's like a servant who gets a present from his master. V'chozo la'achorov. As he's walking away, he walks backwards. U'mishtachavet. He's just bowing down. So the sun and the moon, they're bowing towards the Shekhinah in the east, maybe. Kasha. Okay, that's a question. But really, the divine presence is in the west. Okay, so that's one explanation. According to Rabbi Akiva, the divine presence is in the west. That's why the tanneries should not be put on the western side of a city. But now the Gemara gets into a whole discussion, where is the divine presence? Different opinions. The divine presence is everywhere, and therefore you can pray in any direction. Rav Oshi used to say, what's the pasuk that says, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Atu Hashem levadecha, you are God alone. Atu asisas Hashemayim, you made the heavens, and the house, and the heavens of the heavens, and the host of the heavens bow to you. So the verse is saying like this, Shluchecha lo kishluchei basar v'dam. Your emissaries are not like the emissaries of people. Shluchei basar v'dam l'makom shemishtalchim l'sham machzirim shlichusan. A human emissary, if I send him from the north, he's going to come back to the north when he completes his job. Aval shluchecha, but those that you send l'makom shemishtalchim to the place where they are sent, misham machzirim shlichusan. Once they get there, they return their job. In other words, they go from the north to the south. But you're in the south too, so there they stop, because there they return their task. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hatishlach brakim vayelechu v'yomru l'cha hinenu. Will you send, lightning bolts, and they'll go and they'll tell you, here we are. Yavo v'yomru lo nemar. It doesn't say that they will come back and tell you. Elu v'yelchu v'yomru. They will go and they will tell you. So that tells you Shashkinu b'chal makom, the divine presence is everywhere. So therefore, the emissaries of God can go back to be with God in any direction. Afer b'shmal, saver b'shmal, agreed with Rav Oshia, and he said Shashkinu b'chal makom, the divine presence is everywhere. You can pray to any direction. Tana d'ber b'shmal, and d'nebraisa from the yeshiva b'shmal. Minayin Shashkinu b'chal makom. How do we know the divine presence is everywhere? Shenamar, as the pasuk says, Hinei malach adover b'yotze. Behold, the angel speaking to me left. Malach Acher Yotze the Krasso, and another angel is coming out towards him. Acharav lo nema. It doesn't say another angel came out after where he came out from. And the Krasso came out towards him. The divine presence is everywhere, and God has his angels everywhere. Rav Sheshes also felt that the divine presence was everywhere. Rav Sheshes used to tell his attendant. Rav Sheshes was blind. So his attendant used to stand him up to in the right direction, to daven, to pray. He used to tell him, L'chol ruchto k'matan. You can put us in any direction. Levad b'mizrach. Don't put us to the east, right? Remember, as David pointed out, they were in Iraq. They were on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Levad mishum les b'shchina. Not because praying towards the east means I'm not praying towards God, because God's there too. El mishum demoru b'mini. But that's just because where the heretics pray. The heretics pray towards the sun. If you're going to turn me towards the east, I'm going to turn towards the sun. It looked like I'm a heretic. But really, it's okay that also, because God is there too. Rabbi Avo disagreed with Rav Oshia and Rabbi Shmuel and Rav Sheshes. He said, like we said in Rabbi Akiva, Shechina b'marav, the divine presence is in the west. Rabbi Avo used to say, why is the west called Oria in Persian? Is there such a word, Baruch, Oria in Persian?
Oria.
Rachamim, remember the word Oria?
No, I never heard of it.
All right, I guess. What's that?
Oria.
No, Oria. Oria in Persian is the Hebrew words Avir Ya, God's air. The West, Eretz Yisrael, that's where God is. I'm Rabbi Yudhir Rita, said my lechtiv. What's the meaning of the verse about the Torah? Ya'arov kamatar likhi, Moshe Rabbeinu says, my lesson will come down like the rain. That means Ruach Ma'aravis. That's the western side. Sheba'a me'arafo shel olam, which comes from the back of the world. Tizal katali masi, it will flow like dew, my words. So Ruach Tzfonis, that's the northern wind. Shemazel esesazav, because it heats up the world. And as a result, it creates famine and it makes gold cheap. Chayin Omer, as the pasuk says, "Hazalim zav mikis," that it makes gold in the pocket cheaper. Kisi rimale deshes uruach mizrachis. That's the eastern wind. Shemas eres es kol olam kulo kisayir. That it shakes up the whole world like a demon. Kirvivim ale esev, like revivim on a grass. Uruach tromis. That's the southern wind. Shimala revivim, it raises drops of rain, umagadala sasavim, and it makes the grass grow. So what the Gemara is telling us is that the Torah is like the winds, just like you need wind to keep the world going, you need wind to keep the temperature stable, We need Torah, study, to keep the world going.
So, Rabbi, the idea about facing direction of Yerushalayim...
There was an argument here, but we don't agree with this. We don't agree with this idea that Shekhinah is everywhere. We say no. It's got to be towards Yerushalayim.
But so if we're in the east, it goes the other way, right? I mean, it's the shortest distance. Is that
the
right?
Direction. So if you're in the east, you'd face west. We who are in the west face east.
Yeah, but you can go the other way around the globe, right? I mean, so it's a distance thing.
So we're about to see the Gemara didn't know that the globe was a circle. The Gemara seemed to think it was a square. Uh-huh. They didn't know, right? I mean, it's written in the year 500.
Right.
So now we'll see that. Tanya lived in a Raisa. Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Elazar says, Olam laksadra hudome. The world is like a portico. Now in a portico, you have walls on three sides, and one side is open.
Columns.
With columns, that's right. So the world has walls on three sides, and the fourth side is open. Ruach tzfonis, that northern side, einam mesuvedes, does not have a fence. So the kevan shehigia chametz al keren me'aravos tzfonis. So once the sun gets to the northwestern corner, because it starts in the east, when it gets to the northwestern corner, nichfefes v'olu l'malam menarakia, it bends and it goes above the heaven and it disappears. Then it comes back on the east. Rabbi Yeshua, Omer Rabbi Yeshua says, Olam l'kuba hudama. No, the world is like a cube. So it's like a tent. There are four walls around it. V'ruach tzvonis misuveves. And so the northern side also has a fence. So why don't we see the light at night? Shouldn't the fence keep the sun in? Mekivin shechama magas, once the sun gets to Karen Maravis tzvonis, to the corner which is northwest. It goes into this little window, which is on the north, and it keeps flying outside of the boundaries of the world. That's when there's darkness, we don't see the sun. And then it flies around, and we see it back again inside. When it comes through another window, we see it starting in the east. Shenamar, that's the meaning of the Pasuk in Koheles, Holech el Darom, the sun goes to the south, V'sovev el Tzafon, and it goes around to the north. Holech el Darom, it's going to the south, Bayom, during the day, V'sovev el Tzafon, and it's going around to the north, that's Balayla, that's during the night, when it's going around the boundaries of the world. Sovev, sovev, Holech haruach, the wind goes around and around, v'alsiv osav shavaruach, and on its rotations, the wind returns. That's what the Pasuk says in Koheles. El upnei mizrach, upnei marav. That's the side of the east and the side of the west. West, shepa'amim esavivasan. Sometimes the sun surrounds them at night. In other words, during the winter, when the days are short and the nights are long, the sun, during the day, just fills the south, and it goes down in the southwestern corner. So then it fills, during the night, it goes around the west, and the north, and the east. And sometimes during the summer, when the days are long, so the sun is both in the northwestern corner, and it's in the east, and it's in the south, and it's in the west, until it sinks in the south, the northwestern corner, and then during the night it's only on the north. So what do you see in the Pasuk? The Pasuk said, Soviv, it goes around. So that's the same thing that it spoke about when it spoke about the sides that are east and west. So it must be that according to the Pasuk, there is a fence on the north. Okay. Hu haya omer, Rabbi Elazar used to say, Asan Rabbi Elazar, that braisa is like the view of Rabbi Elazar, that This price is Rebbe Lezer that used to say that the world is in fact open on the northern side, because the pasuk says Menacheder Tavo Sufa, from the wind a storm will come. Zuruach Dromis, that's the southern side. Umimizarim Kara Zuruach Tzfonis, and in the breached area it's cold. That's a reference to the northern area, that the northern area is breached, it doesn't have a wall. Minishmas el yitain karach, zuruach ma'aravis, from the soul of God he will give a frost. That's the western side, that's where you have very big cold winds from the west. Verochav mayim b'matzok, zuruach mizrachis, and there is a large expansion of water from the narrow area. That is the eastern side. And from the eastern side, the wind brings rain. So the Gemara says, one second, how could you say that the wind from the east brings the rain? Ayvamar Marba, didn't we just learn? Ruach Dromis Ma'ala Revivim, the southern side, the wind from the south, is what brings us the drops of rain. Umagadelas Asavim, lets the grass grow. Lokashi, it's not a contradiction. Hadas Yimitra Benichusa. One is talking about pleasant, soft rain. That comes from the south. Habishvichusa, one is talking about lots of torrents of rain. That's from the east. Rav Chizda said, Maidichte, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Mitzafon Zahav Yaseh, from the north gold will come. Zuruach Tzfonis, that means that the northern wind, when it blows, makes things very hot. And therefore, Mazelas Hazav, it creates a famine, shortages of food, and makes gold cheap. And that's what the pasuk says, Hazalim Zahav Mikis, that which made gold in the wallet cheaper. I'm a Raphim Bar Papa Rav Chizda, Raphim the son of Papa, son named Rav Chizda, Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, Lo Hukshem Aruach Dromis. From the day that we lost the Beis HaMikdash, we no longer have rain coming with the southern wind. Before we lost the Beis HaMikdash, as we just said, the southern wind used to bring pleasant rain. But now that we've lost the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have rain coming from the southern wind. Shenamar, as the pasuk says in Yeshayo, Vayigzor al yamin v'ra'ev, he decreed about the right and it became hungry. Vayochal al smo v'lo saveyu, they ate on the left and they weren't hungry. Uksiv, now we know the pasuk says, Tzafon v'yamin ataberasam, north and right you created. So that means right is south. North, because what? North and right. So another way of saying north and south. That means right is the south, and it's saying that now we don't have from the right. I'm a Raf from Bar Papa, I'm Rav Chizda. Raf from Bar Papa, I'm Rav Chizda. Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash. Ever since we lost the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Hagshamim Yordim Yotzer Tov. The rain doesn't come down from the good storehouse. And Amr, as the pasuk says, Yiftach Hashem Lecha Sotzorah Tovas Hashemayim. God shall open up for you his good storehouse to give you rain. When Jews do God's will, and we're living in God's land in Eretz Yisrael, the rain comes down from the treasure of good. When the Jews are not on their landing, the rain doesn't come down from the good treasure place. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said another lesson. I wrote to Shiachim, if you're davening and you want to become wise, Yadrim, direct yourself somewhat to the south. Vishayashrin, if you want to become rich, Yatzvin, direct yourself somewhere to the north. Vesimanchan, the way to remember this, Shulchan Batzafon, the table with the bread which brought Parnasa was in the northern part of the Beit HaMikdash. Menorah Badarm, the menorah, which is a symbol of wisdom, was in the south. However, Rabbi Shimon Levi said, "Olam Yadrim, a person should always turn himself to the south. Shemitok Shemachim, because by becoming wise, Mitash will become wealthy. Shemar, the pasuk says about Torah, Orach Yamin Bimina, length of days are at its right, Bismolad at its left, Oshev Vechavod is wealth and honor." Ask the Gemara, "Ivar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amar Shchina B'Marav." How could Rabbi Shimon Levi say you should be praying facing the south? We just learned that Rabbi Shimon Levi said the divine presence is in the west. You should pray towards the west. And so the Gemara, you're right, you're praying to the west, but mitzad its duty, you still tilt a little bit to the south or to the north. Amar le Reb Chanina le Reb Ashi. Reb Chanina told Reb Ashi, "Kegon atun diyatvitu betzvona de Eretz Yisrael." You were living in the north of Eretz Yisrael, in Iraq. Adrumi, Adrumi, you should be turning to the south when you pray, because you should be facing Eretz Yisrael. How do we know that Bavel, that Iraq was to the north of the land of Israel? The Chassidus, the Pasuk says that Yirmiyahu predicted, from the north, evil will start out against all the inhabitants of the land. Going back to the Mishnah, we have to distance the flax soaking from the vegetable patch and the mustard flowers from the beehive. Tanu, we looked in a brayser, Rabbi Yossi, though, matir bachar, that allows the mustard to be planted all the way near the beehive. Sheyachal lomar lo, because the owner of the mustard can tell the owner of the bees, atzata omer li harchik hardalecha min dvorai, the same way you don't want my mustard near your bees, I tell you, harchik dvorecha min chardalai, I don't want your honey, I don't want your bees near my mustard, because it's not just that my mustard damages your honey, your bees are damaging my mustard, because boz v'ochlos ligui chardalai, because the bees are coming and eating the flowers of my mustard. So why should I distance from you? You should distance from me. Kaddish Rabbanan.